The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Ready! All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch!
They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown!
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God! That's incredible!
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money. All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Action Network Podcast presented by FanDuel. I am your host, Chris Raybon. And today we have our early NFL player props for Super Bowl 57. Here to join me to give some props out, one of the top fantasy rankers, projection masters in the industry, Sean Kerner. Sean, what's going on?
What's up? I'm super excited. We're finally locking in some bets for the Super Bowl. Still over a week out, but you know, we found a couple that we want to lock in. I think by the end of it, I'm going to have about a dozen bets. So today, you know, just kick off with a few.
Yeah. We'll get, you know, these. It's unfortunate. The one thing I will say is that we're probably not going to get a ton of Chiefs pass catcher lines because I think they estimated that Tony, Juju, and Mecole Hardman would have missed practice Wednesday. We're recording this early Thursday.
So. Well, we got some clarity that looks like Hardman's out.
Yeah.
So we did get clarity on that, and then we just kind of have to wait on Juju and Tony. But yeah, like you said, we're probably not going to get wide receiver props until we see, you know, some more clarity around the situation.
Yeah, I can't wait to bet Marcus Kemp anytime touchdown.
Oh, hell yeah. Plus 800.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Terrible value, but but we got some props. There are a bunch of lines out. So we'll do three each for this one. Want to mention that we'll have our full Prop of Booze episode coming out next week. So look out for that. We'll also have Stucky and I will do our Super Bowl breakdown. That'll be out Monday. So early next week for that as well. And then the props episode will follow. So let's jump right in to it. I'll let you lead off. Give me your first prop for SB 57.
Yeah. So the first prop has to be the Miles Sanders one. I love it. It's Miles Sanders to lead the game in rushing yards at plus 175. So I have all my Super Bowl sims. So I was able to sim this out pretty easily. And I got Sanders fair odds closer to plus 150. So there's some slight value here, but I just think there's a ton of upside because his usage all season has been capped due to the Eagles being involved in so many blowouts. You know, we talked about this earlier on the flex. So I think potentially having a closer game only raises his ceiling. So his rush attempt share among Eagles running backs was 79% this season when the Eagles were either trailing or winning by fewer than 7 points, and it dropped to 61% when the Eagles were up by seven or more. And obviously it drops way more, you know, in the fourth quarter when they're up 20 plus points. He rarely saw any action. So a game, like I said, that should be pretty close, he's going to see maximum usage. So that raises his ceiling, and that's what we're looking for in this market. And then on, you know, his main competition is his own teammate, Jalen Hurts. And he's outrushed Hurts in three straight games. I think that obviously has to do with Hurts being a little bit cautious with his left shoulder injury. So, you know, that there'll be less of an issue here. But either way, on the season, Sanders has outrushed Hurts in 13 of 17 games where they're both active. So that's a 76% rate. And in my simulator, I'm only giving him around a 62, 63% chance of outrushing Hurts. So I'm being a little conservative there. And I'm still showing some value here on Sanders. And then on the Chiefs side, his main competition is obviously Isaiah Pacheco. But, you know, unlike Sanders, a potential close or even trailing game script negatively impacts Pacheco's ceiling because it's likely going to be, you know, more carries for Jerick McKinnon. Potentially, you know, we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire active. That's only going to eat into, you know, McKinnon and Pacheco's usage. So I think on the Chiefs side, everyone's ceiling is kind of lowered. With the closer game, you know, the Chiefs had the second highest pass rate on early downs in neutral situations. So, you know, they're going to have a more pass heavy game plan than usual. So that just hurts the chances of the highest scoring rusher or the most rushing yards to come from the Kansas City side. So that's why all of these factors, just it's sort of a perfect storm for Sanders. So while I'm showing plus 50 as his fair price, I think his upside is even higher. So I would bet this all the way down to plus 150, but love the value we're getting at plus 175 here.
Just curious, how many carries are you projected Sanders for this year? His median for the whole entire season is about 15. But as you mentioned, you know, some of the games he's been kind of coming out. So what are you projecting for his carries?
I'm right around 13.5, which is the market right now. Because there is some risk, you know, it could be a trailing game script where the Eagles have to pass more. So there's that aspect going against them. But this could end up being the sweet spot, you know, a close game where the Eagles can still lean on the run. You know, obviously they're a run heavy team, but maximum usage for Miles Sanders. So that's what I would consider the sweet spot, is just a close game, which I'm expecting here. So like I said, you know, a trailing game script would obviously hurt him in this department. That would help out Pacheco, obviously. Plus, you know, the Eagles run defense, that's their weakness. So the Chiefs could attack that by, you know, running Pacheco a little bit more. But for Sanders, I have his rush attempts around 13.5. I'm not projecting him anything outrageous. Again, I'm in line with the market. But when it comes to this market specifically, I do think he has the clearest path anyway to hitting his ceiling.
All right. Yeah. I'm right. I'm surprised those odds are that long, actually. I would think Miles Sanders would kind of be the obvious choice unless we're going to get like a full-on Pacheco unleashed game that we got against the
which could happen
against the
Bengals. We also saw game, so. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. We saw him unleash in the passing game, so they might use that as an extension of the run game. So that, again, that's one other factor that kind of goes against Pacheco here, is he was seeing a lot more usage in the passing game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'll go with my first one. I thought it was going to be on this guy's overs, but once again, we see the market kind of overrating him. Quez Watkins, I'm going under 1.5 receptions at minus 125. I think the fair odds for this should be closer to about minus 175. He's just been a completely different player, as we've talked about, with and without Goddard. Now, I still think there could be some value on some of like the ceiling props for Watkins, like, you know, longest reception, anytime touchdown. But in terms of volume, I still think he's a lot more likely than not to stay under two catches. With Dallas Goedert in the lineup, he has had one or fewer catches in 9 of 14 or 64% of his games. His median is half a catch. And his median is actually 0 receiving yards in those games as well. So averaging about 1.1 catch, but the median is half a catch. And, you know, that's usually with receivers, because you have higher ceilings than floors, pretty much 0 for everything. You're going to see the average be higher than the median. So I don't think the markets are quite taking into account just how his role has changed. It's more high. It's more low percentage stuff. We saw last week. Or two, you know, during the championship game, he had that one target and it was a deep ball that ended up being broken up by Tre'Davious Ward. So, you know, we could see that again. I'm sure they probably want to get him a deep target, but it's not something that you really see in terms of volume with Quez. And then, you know, there's also the fact that his routes have been going down. 2 weeks ago or 2 games ago in the divisional round, just a 27% route participation. And it did bounce back to lead Pascal, who actually jumped him the game before, but he was still only 52% route participation in the conference championship. And that's about 10% below his season average. And remember, this is not snaps. So this is not affected by the blowout, because when you're passing, when you're in the blowout game, you're not passing. So that's why we like to look at these route numbers, and they have been down for Quez, which, you know, if that's the case, then he'd be even more likely than the true odds I estimated before, because I'm still going conservative, expecting him to mostly bounce back to around a season average. So like the Quez under 1.5 catches.
Yeah, what odds are you getting that at?
Minus 120. It's anywhere between minus 125 and one, looks like 145 right now. I'd bet it up to minus 170. Like I said, I think the true odds should be around 175, 178 actually. It's one of those where I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes the books move it, you know, and it gets up to there. But I think the interesting thing about this, you know, the Super Bowl prop market is a lot bigger, I think. You know, there's a lot more money coming in. So I think it's less likely that, you know, like let's say we give out a prop on a pod, I don't think it'll move quite as much as it tends to do a lot of other times.
Oh, right.
When we
give
these numbers out or post them in the app, it's like immediately, I feel like they move like 20, 30 cents.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But as of right now, yeah, it's still anywhere between 125 and 145 across all of the books. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit more bullish on him than you, but I still show some value on the under here. I have him staying below this around 59% of the time. So, you know, fair price to be like minus 150 based on my projection. And I was telling you, I was looking at his longest reception to go over 10.5 yards, but I backed off. It ended up being a little bit closer than I thought. But so there's let's work through this. There's about a 25% chance he has zero catches.
Yeah, but like we only need him to get less than two. Like,
right.
One is
so,
fine too.
Yeah. So there's about a 35% chance he just gets one catch.
Yeah.
And then about 40%, two or more. Bad for you, but good for, you know, longest reception. But
I have it a little higher because, I'm factoring it, I'm like, for his season, the games in which Goddard missed, he had a completely different role, but the games Goddard played, his target per route, 8.7%. So,
yeah.
And his catch rate was down to 58%. So it was like a totally different, it's two different players. So I'm actually not factoring in like pretty much because we have a big enough sample with the, 14 games.
Yeah.
If Goddard so there's only five without him. So yeah, that's probably why I'm just a little bit lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
But either way, I mean, it's like, if you watch Eagles games, you kind of know like the odds of seeing two targets, much less two catches.
Yeah,
it's pretty low.
He's such a fascinating player to project. That's what I'm getting at. So the most likely outcome is one catch. I'm getting at.
I would say
35%. Well,
I have him projected for like one catch. So like it would probably be zero for me, but I think you have him closer to like 1.5, right?
Yeah, even if you're projecting him for one catch, the most likely outcome would be one catch. But that's my point, right? I have 35% chance he's going to get one catch. Out of his 55 receptions this season, 31 of them went for 11 yards or more. So I'm saying if he gets one catch, there's a 56% chance he clears his longest reception of 10.5. So
wasn't that his actual prop?
Like his yardage prop? So his actual prop is 13.5 yards.
Oh,
and
okay,
I'm saying
I saw 10.5.
There's a path there where he gets, you know, 11, 12, 13 yards on his first catch, which could be his only catch. And now you're spending the rest of the game rooting for, you need him to get another catch. That's a disaster if you have the Quez Watkins over 13.5 receiving yards. So I was saying, if you're going to bet his over, you might as well just take the over 10.5 for his longest reception. That was the angle I was going for.
Oh,
because the chances of him getting, you know, 11, 12 or 13 yards is higher than the market is implying right now.
He's gonna get like one catch for 73 yards and a touchdown. And everyone
wins
their
best. That's one of his paths. And I'm saying over 10.5 for his longest reception, that hits. So I was really threading the needle because I do like your under 1.5 receptions. I don't think I can root for him to get two or more receptions. And then you don't want to take his over 13.5 receiving yards because there is a path where you are screwed, where he catches a pass for less than 13.5 yards. And you're spending the rest of the Super Bowl sweating another Quez catch. If you just get one catch, that's a borderline miracle. So we're on the same page here. I'm just saying to invest in his over, the best way to do it would be over his longest reception, 10.5 yards, not his receiving prop.
Gotcha. Yeah. Or just, you know, bet him
or
for
just
MVP.
Not bet his over. Yeah.
Okay. Where are you going with your second?
So we got a punter prop. Unfortunately, the Eagles punting situation is a bit murky because the guy's Spiros is coming back from the IR. And we don't know
Sipos?
Who's punting.
Sipos?
Sipos?
Spiros?
Yeah, Spiros.
You're confusing Aaron Sipos. That's just with Spiro Sipos. Didis, the announcer. For
oh, yeah. So I halted all my Eagles punter research, as you can tell. So if it was Brett Kern, I was hammering the unders. But now Sipos might play. Either way, we have a punter prop I am locking in right now, and it's Tommy Townsend. His first punt to go over 46.5 yards at minus 118. So Townsend has been phenomenal this year, and he's cleared this on 39 of his 61 punts this season. So that's a 64% hit rate. This game will be played at Cardinal Stadium, which is indoors, obviously. It's in Glendale, Arizona, which is about 1,152 feet above sea level, to be exact. So it's a neutral to positive situation where, you know, something like wind won't help or hurt him here. But the elevation can only help in this prop. So I'm factoring in some regression in my sims. So I'm not getting quite the 64% hit rate this season. So I'm showing this closer to a 60% chance his first punt will go over 46.5 yards. And this will be a fun one to root for because we're just waiting to see where the Chiefs will be, their field position on their first punt. Obviously, we want them, you know, like you said, we don't want them, you know, punting around midfield for this one to hit. But that's all sorted out when you factor in the entire season sample. So I'm liking this one. I think we have a 60% chance to clear it. And I think we should have some more punter props by the, you know, by kickoff once we have a better clue on who's punting for the Eagles.
What was that? You're factoring in like, what, like 25% regression and 75%? Like,
he has been so phenomenal.
What's the stabilization rate for punters? I need to know.
I would say about 100 punts.
100 punts? Okay.
Factoring in. But he's been phenomenal this year, like I said. So we can't use that 64% clip. About 100.
I'm just curious, actually, because like that's being, I haven't projected punters out. I may do it, but that just saves me time.
You gotta trust my process. I'm not just going, oh, he's
oh no, I do. That's why 64%.
Yeah, that's we're on the same page on this. I'm saying he's almost been too good this year. 64% is not a realistic rate for him to keep up, but I think 60% is fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, you are the foremost authority on punter props. So I definitely trust you and everybody out there listening shit as well. All right, for my second one, I'm going to go Jalen Hurts under 247.5 passing yards. He's been under 244 in 12 of 17 games, under 240 in 10 of 17. And I think there's a lot of thought that, okay, if the Eagles are trailing, you know, that increases his number. And I factored that in, obviously. Like I said, I think this is going to be their lowest spread of the year. And so, like, that's factored in here for me is, like, his game, the game script for them in terms of their pass run splits are probably the highest I have it projected all year. And yet I'm still have around 235 for his passing yards. And if you look at his games this year, the five times that he went over this number, only one of those games did the Eagles win by fewer than 16. So they had a 35-10 win when he threw for 380 against Tennessee, a 24-8 win when he threw for 340, 24-7 against Minnesota, he threw for 333, and then 35-13 against Pittsburgh, he threw for 285. The only close game was the Bears game where he threw for 315. So his only loss, he threw for just 175. So there's a chance that, like, if the Eagles are in a trailing game script, it's because Hurts is not throwing the ball well. And unlike a guy like Mahomes, it's not like the Eagles are just going to go super pass heavy necessarily, you know, the minute they get in a little bit of trouble. Like, if anything, and what's interesting about Hurts too, is that I think Greg Olsen, because, you know, he's great and shouldn't be replaced by anybody next year as a top Fox broadcaster, I think he mentioned that the Eagles like to generally go pass heavy early in games. So all of this is to say that they already may have kind of maxed out their passing, and the Chiefs defense has only been getting better as the year has progressed. And they're a pretty much league average in DVOA now against the pass. So this is not, you know, a crazy bad matchup or crazy good matchup, I should say. So I just think because it's the Super Bowl, and because Jalen Hurts is such a star, you know, he's one of the top two for MVP, just a little bit of inflation. And I would actually, I haven't really seen this number move too much. Now this might be the first pod that I actually gave this number out on, but like I said, I just think the market is so much bigger than us for this. Like, sometimes on these, you know, when we give out these weird props on like a week 13, they'll move like immediately. But I just think there's too much money coming in from at all books for like us to significantly, or anyone really giving out a number to significantly move it. So I mean, I don't know what you think, but I would suggest, as with most unders, probably can wait, right? Because I think this is only going up. Even if it maybe goes down initially by a couple yards after, you know, some people here in the pod, maybe they'll bet it anyway. But I would think closer to Sunday, you know, people are going to say, oh, like, you know, Jalen Hurts, 230 or 40 something. That doesn't seem too bad, hard to clear. And I think that the number will go up. So I wouldn't even be in a rush. Same thing with the Quez, honestly. I mean, I just think everybody who you want to bet under, you can probably wait, because the majority of bets tend to come in on overs. And there's so much new money coming in for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. If you like any unders, just wait. They're only going to get bet up, because Super Bowl has the most public square action of any game. So like you said, whatever we give out, it might change, you know, immediately, and then it'll just go right back to where it was, if not more. So yeah. I would agree with that. But where are you projecting his median?
So the median would be about 232 and a half.
Let me backtrack here. How many completions do you have him projected for? That's a better question.
I'll give you the averages first. Yeah. And then, so 20.6 for 31.8 completions and attempts.
Yeah.
235 yards, which comes out to 7.4 an attempt, 11.4 a completion. So the median would be about, it's usually about 2 to 3 yards lower for quarterbacks. So I'd say his median is about anywhere from 230 to 232, 233.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing with these passing yard props. There's such a wide range of outcomes, especially with a guy like Hurts. So there might be like alternate markets out there where you can maybe get like plus 200 for under 225 or something like that. But there's a lot of options for this. And yeah, like you said, yeah, a trailing game script could mean that Hurts is struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that would. Really,
and
right?
Yeah, and like, his scramble rate has been a lot lower. I kind of mentioned that with the Miles Sanders prop, but he could scramble more here. If he's struggling passing, maybe he'll scramble more because of that. He had that AJ Brown was wide open and he sailed it over his head. So he has been struggling as a passer the past couple of games. So yeah, I like it. I have his median right around 240, but with just such a wide range of outcomes, I'm staying away. But you know,
I mean, you're still under, like, that's still, you're under by a whole like attempt. Yeah. So that's still pretty good. I mean, and quarterback like prop.
Yeah. And like you said, I'm factoring in the rare close game script for the Eagles. So his, you know, his passing projection is way higher than it would be normally. So there's, I guess we're saying there's a lot more downside than upside than people realize. So yeah, I would agree. The market's probably, you know, inflated now, but it's only going to be more inflated by the time we get to kickoff.
And an interesting thing that I was actually kind of surprised, but so like I, you know, when I'm doing my like defensive adjustments, I schedule adjust them too. So like I'm factoring in all of the offenses that each defense played before I factor in any defensive adjustments, like based on the Chiefs for Jalen Hurts' passing numbers. But the Chiefs, I'm actually showing that they, you know, against the league average quarterback, they would take off about 0.2 yards an attempt at about 0.4 yards of completion. So like the Chiefs defense has actually been a little bit better than I think people think. And that's what I was kind of alluding to. And that's why they're jumping up in the, you know, in the DVOA ratings as well. But I mean, you know, even something like, you know, look at last week. I mean, I think, you know, people looked at Joe Burrow against the Chiefs. This guy threw 41 times for only 270 yards, you know? And I mean, that's not even, you know, the sacks were the sacks, but even when he wasn't sacked and he still had Jamar Chase, T. Higgins made an incredible catch. Hayden Hurst made a crazy clutch catch and like still only got to 270. And you know, Burrow's a guy who, you know, he's usually at, you know, 280 plus at least. So, and on, you know, less attempts than that. So, I think the Chiefs defense is coming on strong and
Spagnuolo's really good at disguising coverages. And last week against the Niners, Hurts was really struggling when they were disguising coverages. It didn't matter ultimately because the Niners didn't have a freaking quarterback in the second half, but that could have been a story, you know, if it was a closer game. So similar style defense where they are going to be disguising coverages and maybe frustrating Hurts. So yeah, his struggles could continue against the Chiefs.
All right, well, we're going with your third and final prop.
So I got a little bit of a random one, but I found some value on this, so I want to lock it in early. But it's will both teams make a 33 or longer field goal? I'm going with no at -110. So it's even more likely if you use both teams' actual game logs this season. Harrison Butker has made a 33-plus yarder in 7 of 15 games, so that's a 47% rate, while Jake Elliott has only made a 33-plus yarder in 6 of 18 games, so 33% rate. So closer to a 64% chance of no hitting if you just take the raw data from this season. And a lot of that has to do with the Eagles passing up field goals at the highest rate this season. And have to imagine they're going to be even more aggressive against the Chiefs. You know, they're going to want to really run up the score. So that's certainly in favor of this prop. But based on all my sims, that's going to, you know, smooth things out a bit. There's about a 64% chance either KC or Philly doesn't make a field goal at all in this game. So that would be an automatic winner, of course. And around an 8% chance both teams make a field goal, but, you know, one of the teams doesn't make one that's longer than 33 yards. So it comes out to about a 42% chance, you know, both teams make a 33-yard field goal or more. So that's a 58% chance, no hits. But again, if you use just the raw data for the season, it'd be closer to 64% chance. So maybe I'm being a little bit conservative, but, you know, not something you'd bet the mortgage on necessarily, but, you know, this has shown some nice value here. So I'll take it at minus 110. And I bet this probably down to about minus 130 or so. But this is just a fun one that I'll bet. And it's not going to really influence how I bet the rest of the game, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, both teams are probably going to want to be aggressive if they get that close. Like that's kind of thing. So, I mean, the biggest risk is if like one team makes one early, then the other team is like driving for the win weight and they get like close. But yeah, besides that, I think, you know, 33-yard field goal or just, because the Eagles are probably going to say, all right, Patrick Mahomes is on the other side. And so, like, we can't just settle for 33-yard field goals. And then the Chiefs, you know, Mahomes never wants to settle for a field
goal. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, I'll close it up with I'll give people a fun one since I know people are going to want to bet an anytime touchdown. This is just, like, a model breaker to me. Like, Travis Kelce plus minus 125 anytime touchdown. Like, usually I wouldn't bet an anytime touchdown prop. And I think – you know, on a normal game, this would probably be a little bit inflated, but two things working in Kelce's favor here. Well, really three things. One is just the matchup. Like, obviously it's going to be tough to throw outside and get, you know, a ton of action from your receivers at Slay and Bradbury on the outside. But you look at the narrative, obviously Kelce versus his brother. I'm sure that he's going to want to get in the end zone and they'll probably try as hard as they can to, but just in the postseason, it just always manages to happen for him. He's scored a touchdown in each of his past 5 postseason games, and he scored a touchdown in 11 of his past 14 postseason games, including 10 of 13 with Mahomes. So he's just kind of, it gets to the playoffs and, you know, he's just a different animal that you can't really model almost. Like, you can't factor in like, oh, his, you know, week 8 data when it comes to postseason. So I think he has, I think there's probably closer to like a 2 in 3 chance here that he gets in the end zone. And the books, you know, just because, like I said, I think the true odds probably be closer to even money in a normal game. But in a game like this, I'm totally fine with minus 125 when you're talking about a guy that's hit this in 82% of his last, you know, of the last 6 years in the playoffs.
Yeah, totally. And last week, you know, he was barely able to suit up. We were getting those reports. He's like a legit game time decision.
Right.
Though.
Sure. Yeah. But, sure. He was gonna miss the AFC Championship. Yeah.
Back spasms are no joke. If you get one, you literally can't move. And he still finished with 7 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. So yeah, that's probably his floor. So yeah, like you said, my fair price is around, you know, even money, but it's not factoring in the biggest game of the season where, you know, Mahomes is probably going to force feed it to Kelce, especially in the red zone.
Another thing working in his favor is he scored the first touchdown this year in 8 of the 19 Chiefs games. So like, it's, you're usually like, the whatever happens when if the game goes whatever the way it goes, like, usually he's going to be the first guy to score. Like, so it's you know, he has like that kind of added upside or floor, I guess you could say, of like, you know, whatever happens later in the game script wise, a lot of times he'll have already scored. So as long as you get 31-9 like blowout again.
Yeah. I mean, would you consider, you know, first touchdown score, or they have like anytime touchdown score first half where you can get them like, you know, +300. I know it's a little bit more subjective. Yeah.
All markets. I mean, obviously the 2+ touchdowns, you know, are in play as well. It's just, But yeah, he's just been a different animal in the postseason. Something you can't really ignore.
Well, like I say, when it comes to the Super Bowl, those 2+ touchdown markets, if you're going that route anyway, you might want to consider Super Bowl MVP, because you can usually get better value there. And when a pass catcher's catching 2+ touchdowns, they're more likely to win MVP. You know, I'm having flashbacks of T. Higgins last year, but, you know, a situation like that could be a winner. So sometimes you get better odds if you just take him MVP. But either way, yeah, Travis Kelce's probably having a good game.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for our early Super Bowl NFL player prop picks episode presented by FanDuel. To recap, Sean is going with Miles Sanders to lead the game in rushing yards at +175. Tommy Townsend, first punt over 46.5. And both teams not to make a field goal of 33+ yards. And I'm going with Quez Watkins under 1.5. Receptions, Jalen Hurts under 247.5 passing yards, and Travis Kelce -125 anytime touchdown. As a quick reminder, a subscription to Action Pro is how you get the most out of the action happening right now. It is being offered at 40% off. This is only being offered through the NFL playoffs, so time is running out. If you don't already have Pro, now is the best time to subscribe and unlock all the best features in the Action app. That's it for us. You can find Sean on Twitter at @_oddsmaker. You can find me at Chris Raybon. And you can find us at those same handles on the free award-winning Action Network app. Be sure to check out actionnetwork.com for all of our betting content, and fantasylabs.com for our DFS tools and models. And we'll have our full Prop-A-Palooza episode out next week, as well as the betting preview episode with Stucky. That'll be out Monday, so look out for those episodes. And until next time, let's get the shmoney.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.